you ever wonder where people go, people can't listen. I want to just tell you, and it's coming this morning, and this is not like my shtick. This isn't my thing. This isn't my angle. It's the gospel of Jesus. People can't take it. A lot of people cannot take it, and it comes in different forms. What I mean by that's always the Bible, but what I'm saying is that a verse will come your way, it'll address this, address that at different angles and in different ways. Correction will come people's way. People will be confronted with things. People will be confronted with a lack of excellence. They just can't take it. It's odd to me that people are not honest with themselves. It really is. It really is odd to me. Because my thing is this, you've heard me many, many times say things like this. I have not arrived, I am not perfect, but I've left. But one thing that I am is honest about myself. And if you're gonna actually interact with God, you have to be honest with yourself. You actually, in order for him to speak to you, you have to take down the facades, take down the carnal nature, and actually listen to what he says. You have to be willing to be devastated, as well as willing to be uplifted. See, for me, I have to make sure I add the uplifted in there, because I'm very willing to say the devastated part, because I already know that the uplifted part is a given. But for some people don't. They get like, well, all that he's saying is something that's negative. You're like, Tom, do you truly get this feedback? No, I don't get this feedback from anybody. Nobody really gives me feedback, except for if I ask my wife, which I don't. So I get zero feedback. But I can tell people's faces, and this church is the most dangerous church in America. Because, believe it or not, it's not because of me. It's because of the Word of God. And in this church, the Word of God is preached unchained, unfettered, unfiltered. We say things here that people wouldn't dare to say because people might leave. Understand, that's not the way that it is here. If you want the gospel, and by the way, you have to have the gospel, not a truth. Not a gospel. You've got to have the gospel. Otherwise, you may not be able to stand the storms of life that may or may not come your way. You're going to have the real, you have to be built upon a foundation. So listen to this. Do you ever ask yourself, let's do this morning. This is an exercise in self-help. Nobody believes me. Ever ask yourself, why am I a Christian? What motivates me in my Christianity? Why am I a Christian? I know there's many angles to that. Some of us, we got saved so that we wouldn't go to hell. For me, I got saved because there was an emptiness in my life. But you ever ask yourself, why am I a Christian? What motivates my personal Christianity? Why am I a Christian? People don't ask that. And if you don't ask that on a regular basis, you're very vulnerable to falling into religion. Do you know that you can tithe as a religion? Do you know that you can be obedient as a religion? You can do all sorts of things as a religion. You have to ask yourself, why am I a Christian? I didn't say, why are you saved? I'm asking you, why are you a follower of Jesus? What motivates you to follow him? Ask yourself that question right now. The answer should be very easy. Just for him. See that response? Did you see it? See, this is an interactive church. See, I'm looking at you far more than you think that I am. The only people I can't see are the first three rows. I can look at them if I want to. But I have to look down to really look at them. Did you see that response? Do you know why it was so dead? Because a lot of us aren't asking that question. Why do I follow Jesus? Why am I a Christian? What motivates me? When I have the opportunity to sin, why do I not sin? What motivates that? What's behind it? When I do walk up to the tithe boxes and I put my tithe in there, why do I do it? Why did I come to church today? Why do I serve in the band? Why am I a worship leader? Why am I a Christian businessman who leads a Christian businessman's Bible study? Why is it? What motivates it? Do you ever ask yourself that? It should be just for him and to love God back. That's it. If you have any other motives behind, I wrote a whole list. Here it is. See that list? Maybe it's to draw attention to yourself. You're like, Tom, where do you get this? I've been in the evangelical church since 1987. I've seen it all. I've been in all the services, all of them. People sprinting around the room, people hitting the ground, anything and everything. I've been there. I've seen it. I've seen that the most miserable people that I've ever met are Christians. I would rather spend the night with people that I've arrested than most of the Christians that I've known personally. They're the most miserable people I've ever met. You know why that is? It's because they are actually double-minded and or lukewarm. And that makes you miserable. You have to be able to answer this question. I'm just using Casey right now, our drummer. Why is it that he's playing? Why is Kristen singing? Why is Deb singing? What is their motive? It needs to be for him. Not, you know what? Practice is on Wednesday, so I go. You're going to run out of gas. It's the same thing in any area of life. Why am I pastoring? For him. Or is it to draw attention to ourselves? To be noticed, to be glorified, to escape hell. If you get saved, and listen, there's lots of counterfeiting going on in the world today where the word transitioned has now been ruined. This is if I say carnal right now, everybody thinks porn. Carnal means of the five senses. If you don't transition, if you got saved because you were afraid of going to hell, no problem. You are saved. This message really isn't about whether or not you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Don't worry, it'll be included. But you have to decide where that line is. The line is sin, living in unrepentant sin, but you have to decide whether or not you've crossed it or not. A lot of people, they get saved to escape hell or to go to heaven. That really won't work. See how quiet, isn't it? I mean, if you got saved, you came up to this altar right now and opened up and said, anybody who's in fear of hell's flames or just simply wants to go to heaven and you want to get saved to get there, and you came up and got saved, if you died right there, you'd go to heaven. Everybody clear? See how sweet I am? I'm telling you, though, that you're going to have to transition into a relationship with God that is for him, to love him back. Because we know that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that he loved us first, verse 19 and 20. He loved us first. So we need to love him back. That's why when you pray, why are you praying? Well, you know, I'm trying to keep this commitment religion. Religion. Don't even do it. You're hurting yourself. Do it for him. When you get up and go to work, you go to work for him. It's a biblical principle. If you don't work, you don't eat. 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. For those of you that somehow justify never working while your wife hates you for not working. You're like, do you see that, Tom? Yes, I see it frequently. My husband just won't work. I don't even know how people pay their bills. I don't want to get sidetracked on this, but I honestly don't know how people pay their bills. I got bills rolling in all the time. Rolling in. How do you pay them? With no money. It must be on the government teat. I have no idea how people pay and don't work and have better trucks than I do. I don't get it. So why is it, ask yourself, why is it that I do what I do? What's the motives behind it? If it's not right, you'll run out of gas. That's why, listen, you see, like, everybody went up to Surge, to the river. And it's great. Pastor Rodney's my pastor. I'm going to the next conference. But if you don't go for him, it's all run out of gas. And people say that they do. But a lot of times it's for other reasons. Why are you a Christian? What motivates your Christianity? Well, maybe I'll get promoted in the church for my ministry. It's not going to work. The Holy Ghost isn't even behind that. So ask yourself, why do I do what I do? Why do I do Christian things? What is the reason behind it? And get back to a relationship, or get to a relationship for the very first time in your life where it's simply for him. Amen. I worship because, you know what, it's what we always do. You know, if it's a good song, I raise my hands. If it's not, I protest by keeping them down. I'm protesting right now. Don't like that one. Oh, good one. Hate that one. See, I actually make sure that I worship during the songs that I hate. You're telling me you sing with the worship team sing songs that you hate? Yes. But you like them. So I don't ban them. I look at the church's response, not my own. I'm like, oh man, they all love that. No, and I'm not gonna tell you which ones it are. They are. Don't ask at the door. Don't ask. I'm not gonna tell you. So ask yourself, why am I a Christian? Go to Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Mary and Martha worship and serve. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, this is just like the church. Church has always been the same. It shouldn't be, but it has. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Don't raise your hands. Last week I said don't raise your hands, and people raised their hands. How many of you is this already resonating with? Don't raise your hand. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. As she served the Lord, allegedly. But was she? No. She was serving herself. She wasn't serving the Lord. If she was serving the Lord, she would have been doing what Mary was doing and sitting at his feet. But some people, they just got to be busy. And I'm doing it in Jesus' name, but it's not for him. You're doing it in Jesus' name, but it's not for him. And you're going to run out of gas, just like she did. Fed up. If you don't do it for him. Tommy, you tell me don't even come to church if it's not for him. Yes. Come for him. Not to be seen. Not to be heard. For him, easy for you to say, Tom. You're up there screaming at everybody. You get to be heard. Right there, you're already wrong. Why do you even care what my motives are? Not for your agenda. That's why I say a lot of agenda-driven Christians, but it's not for him. That's not the agenda. It's not him. It's them. Here's my resume. Here's what I do. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. She sat and she worshiped and she was still and knew that he was God. And the other person had an agenda and said, you know what? My agenda may not be God's, but I'm going to force feed it to Jesus and call it of Jesus. And Jesus simply said, well, you're busy about many things, aren't you? Did Jesus say He said, you're worried and troubled about many things. Did he say that you're worried and troubled about me? And by the way, he loved Martha, and Martha went to heaven. But she was off track, distracted. Here it is, Luke chapter 8, verse 14, distractions. Now the ones that fell among the thorns, the seed of the word of God. Now everybody this morning, right now, is receiving seed. And you will decide what to do with it. You know what you need to decide to do with this seed? Plant it for him. Well, I don't really agree 100% with this church. Plant it for him then. And don't worry about the church. Everybody's so distracted, worried about many things. He's too loud. She's too soft. I don't really agree with how that was done. You know what's amazing to me about that? As I've heard Christians say that many times as they analyze / criticize church stuff. Well, you know what? I really don't agree with how that was done. And these are people who never do anything right. Yeah. But yet they're worried about how something was done. The evidence in their life is absolutely nothing good. They never do anything right, but they're worried about how I said something to somebody. They're just distracted. Their Christianity is all about correction. Their Christianity is all about criticism. It's not, there is no calling. There is no apostles, prophets, and pastors and criticizers. Well, isn't there room for criticism? To the face of the person you're criticizing. That's it, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. That's it. Those are your choices, silence or face to face. Why do you preach about this stuff all the time? Because it's either sex or gossip that destroys Christians. Every time. Every single time. There's people that should be sitting in these purple seats right now that aren't because somebody had to come and say something to them. You know, I just want to tell you something about what I heard. Man, put your hand on their lips. Don't. But some of you are like, I got to hear it because, man, it's interesting. Is that for him? Is that for him? When that person came up to you, was it for him? Then what are you doing? Why would we ever do anything that's not for him? Amen. Or are we distracted? Luke 8, 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those. The word of God is now being planted, or it's falling in places. Who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. I'm going to go back to the list. Are you a Christian so you'll be promoted in the church? Are you a Christian so you can be offended? Are you in the church, or are you a Christian so that you can find a spouse? Are you here because your spouse is here? Are you saved because your spouse is saved? See, we're going to bring this home. Listen, I'm not going to expose you to the world. I'm going to simply expose you to you. Are you a pastor or a minister because somebody told you to be, or because a relative was, or it's what you wanted to do? Is it for him? See, for me, it's very simple because I didn't even want a pastor, so I had to do it for him. I wasn't like, oh man, Hope had no idea. When we got married in 1996, she had no idea I was ever going to pastor a church because I never told her I would because I had no idea. No clue. And I resisted it and resisted it and resisted it. Those are the best ones, by the way. Are you saying, Tom, you're one of the best ones? Absolutely. Sure. Why not? Those are the best ones. You really don't want these heritage guys. Well, my dad was, so I was. How does that ever work out? You ever notice how that ever works out? Not good. Because just because dad was called, this isn't Levitical order. You're welcome. We have a choice. You're going to be choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity? Why are you a Christian? Why do you do Christian things? Why do you listen to Christian music? What's the reason? I have people who say to me, they're trying to get, I don't know why, but trying to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse for a son or a daughter, and they say, well, they're not equally yoked. This person that she's interested in, I've said, why are they not equally yoked? Your daughter's not saved either. But they're so delusional. They think their unsaved daughter who sleeps with everything that moved is saved. Remember the biology, the anatomy of the Americanized backslide from last week. Everybody remember that? The anatomy behind it is you get saved from your old life because you know you need to be saved from your old life. And you get saved. And then slowly but surely go back to your old life. But now you have labeled the old life as Christian. So now no need to get saved. That's how people end up thinking their unsaved kids need a saved spouse. The person who would be unequally yoked is the one dating your son or daughter. That's reality. And listen, I know it doesn't fill the purple seats. All of us in this room should be filling the purple seats, by the way. Why? For him. Amen. For him. Not so we can say Foundation Church is full, but for him. If you're worried about whether the church is full or not, you'll do anything to keep it full. It's like if they give all powers to governments, whenever there's an emergency, what will the governments create? The emergency. So if you all you care about is the seats being full, then you'll do anything to keep the seats full. No, we do. Listen, you try to save people for him. You bring people to church for him. God will do the business. How many of you are scared to bring people here? Shout amen. I won't even look. How many of you are scared to say amen there? Say amen. Bring him anyway. Do you really think I'm harder than Jesus? Do you really think that? Do you really think I preach a harder message than Jesus preached? I don't. All right, well, then if you don't bring him to somebody who's preaching a Jesus message and they quote unquote get saved, what did they get saved to? Anybody ever thinks logically? I'm not preaching Jesus, but I'm winning him to Jesus? How does that work? I'm going to soften the message so that I win them to Jesus, but the hard message is Jesus, so what have I won them to? Why is it in John chapter 6, 53 through 67, why is it that they all walked away? This is a hard saying. Who can receive it? Don't let that be you. If you get confronted by the word and you know I've wasted the last five decades of my life, then you just receive, I've wasted the last five decades of my life, but better is one day. Amen. It's better if you decide, you know what, I've wasted all this time because I haven't been doing things for him. It's better to discover it than to continue on and waste the rest of your life. It's godly sorrow that brings that repentance. You have to let it hit you. You got to let it roll over you and be all right with it. And by the way, don't become a Foundation Church punching bag. A lot of people come here, they just get used to the beatings and never change. They do. It's going to be tough, but you know, I'll just endure through the message. And when I get home, back to normal. Man, Tom, you're rough. Yeah, I've seen you for 27 years. You're exactly the same person that you were when I met you. Not that rough. Why am I a Christian? The answer should be just for him. Why do I do Christian things? Just for him. Why do I worship? Just for him. Why do I pray? Just for him. Why do I speak in tongues? Just for him. Why do I serve? Just for him. And when you serve, serve him. Stop serving the church. Don't serve Hope. Don't serve me. Don't serve Heather. Don't serve Travis. Serve him. Amen. Him. And you'll never get offended then. Amen. Serve him. Why am I a Christian? So I don't go to hell. Or his many other benefits. That will work at the beginning. But you have got to transition into an intimacy with God. Or you will not last. Last minute, I just cranked out these verses. Most of them I've got memorized, but I wrote them down anyway, or I printed them out anyway. Matthew 7:21-27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Why is it? Now again, you gauge whether it's heaven or hell for you. How can it be hell for you if you are living in unrepentant sin? That's a hellbound state. It doesn't matter what Charles Stanley says or John Calvin or Pastor Skinny Jeans, Latte Sucker, Skip Verses. None of that doesn't matter. If you're living in sin and you die in that condition, you're going to hell. For all of eternity, there is no great reset. That's it. Understand that. Tom, you're scaring me. Good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've just become smarter. And you're welcome. I'll thank myself and I'll welcome myself. So some of this doesn't mean that you, what I want you to do is layer what was just said here. All of these people, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and in thy name cast out devils and in thy name done many wonderful works? Those people were casting out devils. There's lots of saved people who never cast out a devil. These were people who depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. These people were never saved at all. Let's layer it to the saved, though. Let's layer it out. Here's the transition that all of us have to make. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Why? Because they never transitioned into a relationship with God where they were doing everything for him. Why are you a great husband? Not for her, for him. That way there's no conditionality to it at all, is there? Well, I'm good when she's good. I'm bad when she's bad. God never changes, for I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you're a good dad, a good husband, a good wife for him. That's it. And you hold yourself accountable to that. Well, you know what? I'm on the verge of doing something really stupid. No. I am a dad for him. I'm in business for him. I pastor for him. I build for him. That's what you do. And you hold yourself accountable to it. If you don't have a relationship like that, when the rain descends, see, look at these people now. They were casting out devils in his name, prophesying in his name, many wonderful works in his name. A lot of Christians never do wonderful works. And you may be doing all these things, but they didn't even know God. You may know him. But why are you doing those things? Why are you prophesying? Why are you casting? I know people cast out devils. The reason why they cast out devils, that's their agenda. The old Pentecostal leg lengtheners. Remember those? Can't heal any real diseases, but they can lengthen a leg. Like, Tom, you'll talk about anything. Darn right. You know why? Because it's Pentecostal, old-time religion. That's all it is. Why don't you melt tumors? Instead, we're not going to melt any tumors. We're not going to heal any diseases. We're not going to raise anybody out of any wheelchairs. But you know what? Come on up. And I'm like a spiritual chiropractor. You lay down right here. Do you realize that that leg is 1/4 inch longer than the other? Who cares? Let me watch me kick you with it. Watch my 1/4 inch shorter leg kick you in the head. A lot of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Good. Good that you don't. Some of you do, and you're the ones that are laughing right now. Is that just old religion? You know why people do that? Bring attention to themselves. You ever notice we don't have people bring attention to themselves? You ever notice that? Amen. We don't allow it. When we worship, it's about the Holy Ghost. It's not about somebody's performance. There's all kinds of Christian performances, blowing horns, waving flags, all these different performances that bring attention to the worshiper instead of the worshiped. That's why you don't see it here. And you know what? You're never going to see it here, ever. Tom, well, you're going to offend the flag wavers. Bye. Never have got along with the flag wavers anyway, or the sign people. You know, he fell off the stage. You're welcome. I'll tear down any religion. Because it's all that it is look at me. We don't play those games here. You had a guy march into the building one time with his palm frond. No, get out. You can stay, but the palm frond goes. And you see all of those people, when the rains descend, they walk away from God. Look at how solid they are. Before you ever listen to anybody, I never will get this. How people don't actually discern the prophet before they listen to him. I don't get you. I don't understand you. How you listen to people who have absolutely no fruit of being right. None. I don't get it. Before you take their advice, well, you know, the deep hermeneutical meaning of this and the 7 translations in the Greek and the whatever. Okay, before you listen to that person, go look at their life. Amen. You can look at mine. Mine's easy. I'm all over Google. 25 years of law enforcement. People know where I live. I'll make Aaron mad if I put out my address again that I already torqued him off. I did that right in the heat of COVID. I'm like, you want a piece of this? Come on. Aaron's like, what are you doing? That was after I already had somebody drive up in the middle of a Facebook Live at our old building, right up to my car window. Yeah, park, wedge me in. This crazy guy and his wife. He's still crazy, still circulating around churches right now. He is. Crazy people. You know why he's crazy? Because he's all about himself. He serves himself in the name of Jesus. It's all about me. You never submit. You never have anonymous service. Very easy for you to say, Tom, because you get all the attention. First of all, are you sure you want the attention that I get? Are you sure that you do? Okay, the second thing is I served anonymously for years and years and years. I got saved at 18. I didn't start being a youth pastor till I was 36. So believe me, youth pastors isn't exactly a glorified calling. Oh man, that youth pastor gets all kinds of glory. I didn't get any glory. So it may work at the beginning if you get saved for his benefits. You might be legitimately saved, but you're not strong. And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow, will that house stand? Not unless you're doing it for him. For him. Some of you need to face your life in the mirror right now and say, I'm facing my life, Lord, not for me, for you. Tell me what you want me to know. Will you do it? Quiet in here. Will you do it? You got, I mean, listen, it may ruin everything. Some of you need to have a long, long discussion with your spouse about how to fix what's going on in your house. See, I don't have to have long discussions because anything pops up in us, we take care of it now. And that's not just me. I'm not some overlord of the Lipley house calling everybody into judgment. No, I get corrected too. But when it's right, it's right. And you take the correction for him because he sees and knows everything anyway. Why am I a Christian? Starts off with, so I escape hell or for the benefits. I mean, ask yourself, I'm trying to get there, Luke 8:13. You can read it for yourself because I keep blathering on and on. But I just, do you ever ask yourself why it is that you'd never worship on your own and you don't pray on your own? You're not walking around having tongue-filled talks with God? It's because your relationship with him is about some convoluted agenda instead of him. I don't know what your agenda is. Some people just want a Bible study. That's their whole life. Or they want a pastor at church. That's their whole life. Or they're anti-NIV. It's their whole life. Anti-NIV. Anti any song that's not in a hymnal. That's their entire life. Martin, by the way, Hope and I have seen it. She just said that's true. We've had them come to the church. These anti any translation but King James people. It's not King James, not Jesus. Listen, I don't like some of the new translations, and some of them do get like watered down and things. But if that, or you're anti-holiday, that's your whole life. I'm anti-holiday. I'm here. My mission is to destroy Santa Claus, and I'm going to do anything I can to do it. I'm going to destroy it. Okay, is that for him or for you? Or the various political things, whatever they may be. There's people who think they're Christians because they're conservative. You're not saved because you're conservative. You're saved if you got saved through the washing of the blood of Jesus, through the remission of sin, through your own repentance. Not because, God, family, apple pie, and flag. And come hell or high water, I go to church once a year when Trump goes. National Day of Prayer. And give me a Bud Light and everyone shut up. You're going to be sitting in hell right next to Kamala Harris. True. MAGA is not the washing of sin away, okay? So if you got saved for the benefits of God, I'm not saying you're illegitimately saved. I'm saying you're not strong unless you've transitioned into a relationship with God, into doing everything for him. Luke 8:13. Those on the rocky ground are those who receive the word with joy when they hear it. They receive it. What do we say in our salvation prayers? I receive you as Lord and Savior, right? Well, they receive it. The word with joy when they hear, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, fall away. It goes right back to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. The rains descended and the floods came. And since they got saved for only the benefits of God, including escaping hell, they couldn't stand. We all saw it 5 years ago. The rain came 5 years ago. March of 2020, the rain came. And what did the church do? Fell. And great was the fall of it. And a lot of Christians who have attended this church went back to those COVID caving churches because they're nicer. They'll never confront you. Why am I a Christian? Let me go back to my list. For my ministry, to be appreciated. You know why a lot of people are Christians? This will be a good one. This will offend a lot of people. A lot of people are Christians because the world rejects them because they're so weird or nerdy or whatever it may be. Sort of, let's just say, trying to be nice. Different. Well, the church, because we're trying to win the loss, give them more of a chance. So they come in for a social circle, not for him. A lot of people are coming because they're here in church because, or they're a Christian because their wife is, because their girlfriend is, because of the four F's. They're lonely and they need the four F's: friendship, food, fellowship, and fun. If the rains descend, you're not going to make it. Ask yourself, why am I a Christian? Why do I do what I do? See, I mean, I will not offer God something that costs me nothing. I'm not going to sit there and pray because it's a religious thing to do. I pray to communicate with God for him. Is there a benefit for me? Yes. Just for him to love God back. That should be our motives. What does just for him mean? Let's define it. Psalm chapter 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. The Lord, listen, who does he set you apart for? Himself. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. God's allowed to be selfish. He's Yahweh. He sets you apart all for him. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to act according to his good purpose. How many of us right now are living in the center of his good purpose? See, it shouldn't be silent here. What it should be in here is everybody going, you know what? If I'm not living in the center of his good purpose, I'm getting there today. Because all you got to do is say to him, Lord, I want to be in the center of your good purpose. That's all you got to do, and he'll start to turn the rudder, and the ship will start to turn. Or you can live in sweet delusion like every other Christian and say, I'm at the center of God's will right now, when there's no evidence that you are. Because if you're in the center of God's will, listen, power is flowing off of you, falling off of you, resonating all over you. If you're in the center of God's will, you have the best marriage. You have the best business. You are prospering. You are healthy, wealthy, wise, and winning. Amen. Bringing people to church all the time. Healing the sick all the time. Giving provision to the poor all the time out of your wealth. Many people have no evidence that they're in the middle of God's will, but constantly say that they are. They live in sweet delusion. That's why they find another church. Because the other church will tell them that. Most churches, listen, I am a Kenneth Hagin disciple. I'm an Andrew Womack disciple. Rodney Howard Brown, what people would call a prosperity preacher, is my pastor. I believe in all of it. But here's the problem. Certainly not Pastor Rodney. He got arrested. But all the prosperity churches, all the Word of Faith churches, what did they do 5 years ago? Shut. Because here's the problem. They tell people God wants you to prosper and God wants you to be wealthy, but they don't tell you how to get there. They just keep telling you that's what God wants. We know that God wants it. How do I get there? That's what this church does. People don't want to hear how to get there. How to get there is work. I don't want any work. I want to go to a Chris Tomlin concert. I don't want to work. I want to go to a Kenneth Copeland conference. I don't want to work. You have to go in a closet alone as I'm commanded in the Bible and pray and study the word and break down the walls of unbelief so that I can have the prosperity and I can have the healing and I can have the power. I got to do all these unsexy things. Oh no, I'm just going to go to a Hillsong concert. I'm going to line up and some pastor's just going to impart it onto me. Not going to happen. It's not the evidence of the word. The greatest soul winners were Jesus and Paul, and one of them was the word, and the other one had the word memorized. Amen. Numbers 18:20, verse I used a couple weeks ago. What does it mean? For him. What does that mean? Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion, and I am your inheritance among the children of Israel. The reason why we do what we do is for him. That's it. Every single time, whatever your vocation is, in and out of the church, look at me now. It's 11:56, we're almost done. Listen, whatever your vocation is, in or out of the church, I don't care what it is. Today, you're opening up the most explosive diarrhea diaper of your life back in the nursery. Each and every scoop is for him. That's what you do. I'm telling you. And if you think that that's worse than pastoring a church, you've never pastored. I deal with idiotic behavior all the time. I'd rather wipe the poop. I'm serious. I'm not a gagger. I don't get like that about poop. I just wipe the poop. I was a poop changing son of a gun with my two kids. My wife is the one that does the hacking. Not for poop, but for maybe, I don't know if you do poop. I don't know if poop doesn't bother you, does it? It's all vomit. Vomit gets her. She's done. She's gonna hack. I don't ever hack. She hacks. She gets around vomit. You can hear her from a mile away. Sounds just like this. I haven't done it in about a year. Ah! That's what she does. Ah! And you're like, how can that come out of a little tiny body? But it does. How can that much noise come out of a little tiny body? But it really does. Tom, I need you. Tom, I need you. So believe me, I'm just telling you. And by the way, just for some of you that are already offended, understand, listen, I'm not saying that I've never been an idiot. I'm not saying that I haven't been wrong about some of you. I don't claim that. But you're going to have to get to the place inside of a church where you do everything for him, and then you deal with people the way that God deals with you. I'm very glad that God doesn't deal with me the way that some people do. So how do we respond to this? God says that I'm your portion. I'm your inheritance. For it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good purpose. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. How do we respond? Because, man, we're his treasure. See, nobody got that. You don't get it because you're thinking of yourself the way that the devil thinks of you. The way that the world thinks of you. Think of what the world wants us all to be. The world wants us all to be living in these coffins of 15-minute cities, 57 times vaccinated, living a life of maybe 50 years as we just are in indentured servitude and peasanthood to the elites. That's how they think of you that way. It's not how God thinks of you. God's like, the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. He set you apart for himself. How do you respond to it? Do things for religious purposes? Aaron comes up and leads worship. Well, you know, it's my job. So every Wednesday and every Sunday and every Monday through Friday, I got to do Tom's podcast. And then I come in and I just do it. And see, nobody can survive around Aaron and I. We're passionate. Like you, if you're not excellent, we start jumping your case. You may not like it, and we're not claiming to be perfect. I'm not saying that I've acted perfectly. I'm saying we demand perfection. And when we screw up, I screwed up. I came to the podcast one night. You know, it's not a big podcast, but there is over 1,000 people watching live, right? How many people are watching us here? Let me see. There's over 1,000 watching us live right now. So there's a lot of people watching. Well, I showed up at the podcast and I didn't bring the podcast. I mean, you can't get any dumber than that. A lot of you are mad about me bringing some sort of correction to you or whatever, or some ministry has or somebody else has. Well, understand that it couldn't have been any dumber than I was. I showed up at the pot. I got in my car. Drove. It takes 9 minutes for me to get here without any traffic, and if I blow the light at River in 41, which I do every Sunday, but and every night of the week. But anyway, if it's red, I roll it. It's no turn on red, but I turn right on red anyway. So anyway, I even pull around cars to do so. But anyway, so it should take you 12. Takes me 9. I get here 9 minutes. I'm in the car. I'm probably listening to music, singing to myself, whatever it is. Having a good old time. And I pull in to the parking lot, park my car, get out, and I go, oh my gosh. Now there's no, you're like, well, that's no problem. You probably come a half an hour early. No, I come literally 10 minutes before the show starts. We do like a literally like five minute download. Oh, here it is. Blah, 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 blah. All right. Well, so it's over. I don't have the podcast. Aaron looks at me and goes, what do you want to do? I said, I don't know what to do. So that's when I start to quit. Like in my mind, I start quitting everything. I quit. That's it. I said, I don't know what to do. Call CTN, run a tape, whatever. Whatever we got to do. And that's a lot of wasted time. It takes me hours to prep a podcast. And so I drove off. There's nothing to do. I can't stand there in front of a camera. I'm like, oh, I just want to pontificate about life tonight. Any questions, send them in on the chat. I can't do it. So, I mean, I could. I mean, I guess I could. But I don't want to. So I'm driving home. I'm driving home, and I'm pouting on the way home. And Aaron calls me and says, listen, grab if you want to. He handles it with care, as he knows that it's real combustible at that time. So it's, if you want to, grab the podcast, bring it home. I'm just going to keep running the pregame stall until you get here. So then I made it from our house to here in 7 minutes. Came back, we started the podcast like at 9:20. So listen, I screw things up. But the thing is, I'm honest about it. It isn't. Well, the reason why I screwed it up is, see, I was pontificating the deepness of the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 17, and no. The reason why is I just pulled a stupid and didn't bring it. Twelve minutes to go, and then we're leaving. Everybody ready? I'm going to finish. Speaking of that, here's Romans chapter 12. How do we respond to this? How do we respond to all for him and that he set us aside for him and we're to love him back? How do we respond to this love that God has for us? And again, stop thinking of yourself the way that the devil does. I don't. I honestly don't. I have lots of faults and failings, but here's the thing. I do not think too lowly of myself. That's wrong. A lot of you think that's actually a religious piety. Yeah, it's religious, all right, but it's not piety. You should think of yourself as you are. Chosen, perfect, victorious, past eradicated. Steps ordered because God sets you apart for himself, for his own pleasure. I love it. How do we respond? Here's how we respond. Two words, ready? Look at me. Two words. How do we respond? We die. That's how we respond. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. We respond to the fact that God has set us apart by dying. John 4:23. So here you have it. What is your spiritual act of worship? To offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Look at me now. Look at me, look at me, look at me. How many of you have really done that? Come on. Lord, I lay it all down. Do you realize how safe you are doing that? Makes you only vulnerable to martyrdom. If you don't do that, then you're living in the world's percentages. If you say, Lord, I'm in your hands, scriptural hands, not the faulty mystery shrouded in mist. You never know what God will do. Garbage, will of God. But the word of God, which is the will of God. You put yourself in his hands. That means you live to 120 in perfect health. That means that you are safe and protected. That means that you always have God's best job, best relationships, best church, prospered, healthy, wealthy, victorious, and wise. That's what it means. So please don't misunderstand when I say, put yourself in the hands of God. And then people, you never know what's going to happen then, but I don't care because it's the hands of God. No, what it is that you're lazy and you never dispelled unbelief, so the devil destroys you and you blame God for what the devil does. Do it. The people do it all the time. So what is that spiritual act of worship? To offer your body as a living sacrifice. Then you go to John 4:23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. How many of you want to go where the Father seeks? Okay, then how do you worship him in spirit and in truth? People think, I worship you in spirit. I worship you in truth. My life's a holy blessing unto you, flag, sign. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, that's not. Listen, I love to worship God, and there's an element of us worshiping with the music and with one another, but the spiritual act of worship is you saying, I'm dead, living sacrifice. I'm a living sacrifice to you, Lord. That's your spiritual act of worship. How do you respond to God setting you apart for himself? He finds pleasure in you. For it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to his good pleasure, Philippians 2:13. He has a will for you that gives him pleasure. That's what should motivate us about everything. I'm thinking of the various, I'm looking around the room. You know, you probably don't realize that I'm looking around the room, but I do. And I think of the various business owners in this room. Own your businesses. Run your businesses for him. Don't get lost. Be excellent for him. Don't get lost in the day-to-day. Do it for him. I don't ever just throw together a message. I get my messages from him so that I preach them for him. Galatians 2:20, the verse we use all the time around here. 7 minutes to go. Everybody good? I mean, literally, I'm stopping in 7 minutes. I am crucified with Christ. How many Christians ever even hear this in the church outside of here? It's all just God is the genie in a bottle, right, waiting to come and bless you. It's not all about him blessing you. It's about us blessing him. And those blessings will just fall out of heaven for you. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not so that they will be, and they will be. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now my job, my life is to love him back. Getting up tomorrow morning and do whatever it is you do for him. Matter of fact, what you should do is consecrate your day. Do the very first thing for him. Early in the morning will I rise up to seek thee. Galatians 5:24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I love this because we're doing 5:24, 5:25, 5:26. This kind of sums up the entire message in these three verses. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires and its agendas and its priorities. Our priority is what? Him. For him. Love him back. That's it. That's it. We're going to start a Bible study in our house, our husband and wife. We're just doing this to get close together. Don't do it then. Don't do it to get close together. Don't do it to draw closer to one another. It's a waste of life. Do it for him. And watch what happens. You'll both be on the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost. Instead of starting off your Bible study, it ends up a makeout session. I just love you. I love you too. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Ends up like the opening scene of a porno, you know? I see it. You're like, what are you talking? I see it in church. Don't ever let me see you. I might say something to you. I call it worship lovemaking. These guys, it's never the girl. It's always the guy who's got their hands inappropriately around, I hope, their wife during worship. She's here. Can you just wait till you get home? That's not for him. That would be for you. Tell you I'll cross any bridge. I'm going to finish here in 3 minutes. Galatians 5:24 through 26. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. 5:25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Listen to this. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Why is that put in there? Because of agenda-driven Christians. Not doing it. Going back to 5:24, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. Do you know how many Christians I've seen that are desirous of vainglory? They want to be thanked. They want to be noticed. Pastors want their pastor appreciation days. Why? Is that for him? When they give you your 3-week Bahamian vacation and your new Harley? Is that for him or is that for you? Why do you even pastor the church? So you're noticed? Ask yourself every single day, why am I a Christian? Why am I doing Christian things? And make sure that it's for him. Galatians 6:14. Still got 2 minutes. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I'm crucified unto the world. There's no agenda for me anymore. Are you okay with saying that? I am. It's all for him. Everything is yielded unto the will of God. And here's where I will actually close. Philippians 3:10 and 11. Listen to the benefits that come. I've preached this entire message about not focusing on the benefits of God, but listen to these benefits. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. How many of you right now in areas of your life, you can raise your hand here, need resurrection? If you just do things for him, you'll get it. I want to know Christ. And the power, I want to know Christ. Not know about him, not do things for him in some sort of vacuous way. in a religious way, in a distancy way. I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You do things from him, life is coming to your dry bones. But you got to do it all for him.
Foundation Church has a mission to preach the word, win the lost, and disciple believers. You can expect Holy Spirit-led worship and a message that will leave you equipped and empowered. Become a part of what we're doing by investing today as we continue to fight for the truth, be the restraining, and bring hope for the hopeless.